Okay, welcome. Most of you know me, Dr. Brian Walsh. Not all of you have heard me speak before, but so we're talking specifically about sugar. We call it the case against sugar, and you'll understand more what that means as we go through it. But it's really one of the big problems that drives, it's okay, that drives a lot of the problems, health problems in the U.S., actually. That's kind of the root of a lot of that stuff. But there's natural ways around it, and we just have to retrain our taste buds, kind of. Excuse me. So I always like to start my health talks with this quote because it really embodies how I feel. It says, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame and diet and in the cause and prevention of disease." So that was by Thomas Edison like 100 years ago. So he really saw the need to take care of the human frame. That's why I like chiropractic, and it helps a lot of things. To getting to the diet, because that really should be our fuel, you know, and nourish our body instead of poisoning our body, which is what it's doing today. And then getting to the cause and prevention, because the U.S. is a great place to be for surgeries and life-saving procedures, all that stuff, but not so good for, like, chronic health problems, right? We're, like, World Health Organization ranks us, like, 38th or something for health quality when you compare all these countries, right? So we spend a lot, but not a high quality of healthcare. So the people that did do the health, or I should say the sugar quiz, did anyone have more than five or five or more false? Which means you're kind of on the sugar side, heading toward the sugar dark side. So that just gives you an idea, because it really is very pervasive in our lifestyles now, and it really shouldn't be. If you look back in the early 1900s or so, average consumption of sugar was like 7 to 10 pounds per person a year, back in the early 1900s. Now that number is closer to like 130 pounds per person. When you add up all these different sources, you know, it's not just putting sugar in your coffee. It's they put it in products. They use it to help with the to preserve meat and stuff. So it gets into the system many different ways. So it's really gone to astronomical levels, and our bodies just weren't meant to handle that much sugar, especially the processed sugar. Up until the 70s, there was a big transition. Most up until the 70s, sugar cane was the main source of sugar, right? And as time went on, they found out that you could use corn and make high fructose corn syrup from it, and it was incredibly cheaper, and it was a lot sweeter than sugar cane, which meant you could make a lot more money off of it using less of the product. So it became hugely popular for soda manufacturers, for candy manufacturers, for you name it, right? Because now they had a substitute that was highly profitable for them, and it was very sweet and got your taste buds going. So that's where that whole high fructose corn syrup thing came in. But it comes by many names. You know, there's corn syrup. I mentioned high fructose corn syrup. Anything with the letters O-S-E, you know, glucose, fructose, there's always some form of sugar, right? It's some are better than others, but that's a form of sugar. Barley malt, maple syrup, which is better alternative than some of those, and brown rice syrup is also a better alternative than some of those, which we'll talk about at the end. But they found that in children, so this is, if they drink 1 to 2 sodas a day, they have a 60% increased risk of obesity. Just adding 1 to 2 cans of soda a day really increases the risk of becoming obese as they grow older. And the childhood obesity rates have gotten like really bad, which is not good, because the earlier you gain weight at a young age, the more likely you have health problems as you get older, right? Because more chance of diabetes, heart disease, starting at earlier ages. So we want to stop that snowball thing. And it really affects, the problem with it is that it affects many body systems, right? That's your body has this regulatory system to keep your blood sugar normal, but if you're getting too much of it and you're not processing it properly, then that system gets all out of whack and can no longer do that. And that's when people ultimately end up with things like diabetes, where the sugar goes really high, and then you have to, your body tries to get rid of it as best as it can, but that's when it starts affecting your eyes, your legs, your circulation, your nerves. All these different things become affected. Your very high chance of heart disease problems as the sugar goes up in the blood. So you always want to keep that down to low levels. But it can affect the immune system, increased allergies for people that eat a lot of sugar. We've seen kids where they have their sugar high and they're bouncing all over the place and they crash. But adults can do that too. So it can affect anyone in that capacity. And then I've seen people where I had a gentleman. He was in his late 40s, early 50s, and maybe mid 50s, and he had a lot of like aches and pains in his body. And he kind of would say, "Oh, I'm getting older, arthritis kind of stuff." Well, it turns out that he was one of those individuals that liked sugar, and he ate a lot of it, but he was kind of sensitive to it. So I was able to get him to eliminate it for a while to see what happened with his body aches. His body aches dramatically went away when he dropped the sugar out of his diet. And he experimented and he binged on a bunch of sugar one weekend. And like in a couple of days, his body aches were worse. So sometimes it'll affect your muscles and joints and that kind of stuff. So it just affects many different systems. That's why it's so bad. It can affect, I mentioned like organs can get weak. The obvious thing is, your pancreas works overtime. That regulates your blood sugar. But other things like your adrenal glands, which sit on top of your kidneys, they regulate part of the blood sugar equation too. So when you're getting too much of that, they kind of work overtime. And I mean, on the other side, people can get what they call hypoglycemia, where they're not regulating their blood sugar well in general. But when they eat sugar, it tends to make that go up and down a lot more. The other thing that can happen when you consume lots of sugar, especially the white stuff, is that your body uses the B vitamins and minerals to like offset that, to process it. So if you're not getting a good diet and you're not maybe supplementing with a good vitamin, then sometimes you actually become deficient in some of those B vitamins and minerals, which then causes other problems because you need those vitamins and minerals for your organs to function and your brain to work well. So that's like the snowball effect that can happen. And then we get some kind of symptom, that's either the legs start having issues or you start having eye problems with the blood sugar. Which just gets worse over time. They've also have found that the higher your sugar intake, that increases insulin levels in the body, because that's normal, but you don't want that to happen all the time. And the elevated insulin levels in people for long times, they have higher risk of cancer. So there's definitely a correlation there between high sugar, high cancer. So it increases your risk of all those things too. The other thing that's interesting is they've done studies, like MRI studies on people's brains, comparing it to drug addicts. And this is like the live type MRI where they can see the brain activity, that when someone consumes a lot of sugar at one time, it lights up those same addictive centers as someone was doing cocaine. So it's very powerful, and that's why it's so easy for us to get hooked on sugar, because we actually get that pleasure response in the body, that is a very strong response, and you want more of it. So that's why you keep on doing more and more of this stuff over time. But that can throw up that whole blood chemistry thing and brain chemistry, because it gets that whole addiction pattern going. That's why it's hard to give up the soda and those, what do they call those drinks? Those energy drinks.
Red Bull.
It's either Red Bull and all these monster drinks, right? Those things are just, man, those things are. They're pretty rough on your body, to say the least, besides the tons of sugar. Matter of fact, somebody had one of those and he was a chiropractic patient. If he was a nutrition patient, I'd have booted him out, probably. But he came in with one of those monster drinks, and I think it was a 12 ounce. There was, I think it was 12 or 13 teaspoons of sugar in the one monster drink. So that's a large amount of sugar at one time. When people drink, a couple of those things a day. Which can really wreck the rest of your body, your immune system. So I mentioned it affects all these different systems. That's why that getting the nutritional aspects shored up, making sure your organs are working better. One of the things that can help tremendously with it is a bumping up your exercise. They found that when your exercise levels at a certain level, you're actually less likely to crave sugar and actually have cravings in general, because it normalizes all those chemicals in your brain and body that regulate your blood sugar. So that's why exercise is so powerful, because you actually, what they call insulin receptors that are in your body that bring in your sugar, take it out of the blood, they become much more effective when you exercise. So that just the exercise itself can lower the blood sugar levels, which can help people that do or don't have diabetes. But it's a great way to start getting those sugars to start diving by increasing your exercise levels. And it makes you creates more of the endorphins, right, which makes your brain happier. So you're less likely to want the sugar because your brain's happier and working better. So those are just some of the big reasons why to stay away and what to do with it. There are a lot of different things. They found that just not having it in sight, well, they did some studies. So one is they took like a candy bowl thing in a workplace, and instead of having it on somebody's desk, well, actually they monitored their pattern of eating it with it on their desk. And then they took and they moved it to somebody else's desk, so they had to get up, right, to get it. And then they like took it out of the room, of course, out of sight, out of mind, right? But each time it got farther away, they ate less of it. So there is something to this, like not having it there, that you won't consume it as much, or even out of sight, right? Because if it's in a cupboard or something, then you're less likely to see it and, oh, I want one of those. Whereas if the cookie jar is sitting out there in the kitchen, it's like, oh, I think I have a cookie because it looks so good sitting there. So just the simple techniques like that. Avoiding any of the corn, high fructose corn syrup, all those kind of things, they're just so addictive and rough on your body, right? And there's another thing that a lot of people don't know is that, I'm not sure if they're still doing it, but they used to use a mercury derivative to extract the corn syrup out of the corn, right? And this study was done like 5 years ago. They took these products with high fructose corn syrup off the shelf and they measured for that mercury derivative, and it was detectable in a lot of the products. So if you do that over many years and you're getting these small doses of mercury, that's like not very good. And so that's another reason not to eat it, is to not have mercury levels going up in your body. Natural alternatives, so from the, as transitioning from one to the other, stevia is it's a plant-based sweetener. The key with stevia is you have to be very careful about the amounts, because a little bit goes a long ways and it's easy to get bitter and have a funny taste. But they've come up with some really good stevia alternatives that that are still good without the blood sugar. They don't raise your blood sugar at all. The other one is called, the sugar alcohols, which is like xylitol or mannitol, those type of sugars. They're very good in that they don't raise your blood sugar. The only thing you have to be careful with those sugar alcohols is that for some people, if they do too much, it upsets your GI tract. So it tends to give people gas or loose bowels if you do too much of this stuff. So those you just got to tread lightly on. But that can be a very good alternative because they also don't up your blood sugar. Coconut sugar is another alternative. It's not quite as sweet tasting as the other ones, and it's not processed, which is good. And even organic raw sugar is still better than the white stuff because it actually has a little bit of nutrients in it. But still, the less sugar, as in cane, the better, because it's just not you shouldn't be having a lot of this stuff. And then again, raw honey is like an ideal sweetener. But you can do too much honey too, because it's still sugar. It's just it has a lot of nutritive content to it too, and it also has, if you get local honey from where you live, it can help people with allergies in that area, because the bees are taking pollens and stuff, you know, from the area, and the honey can actually help with the allergy part that people have for local pollen allergies. So, but again, you want to do smaller amounts of this stuff, because, you know, things like fruit and that type of thing, that's really our natural go-to for something sweet. You know, that's what God made fruit for, that purpose. And it has fiber and nutrients and vitamins in it, you know. So that's really meant to be our real sweet stuff. And the stuff that has the real heavy sugar should be more treats that we do not very often. So I mentioned the exercise is a good way to help avoid those things. So some people say, well, if I'm not eating sugar, can I do artificial sweeteners? And I'm just not a fan of artificial sweeteners. I'd rather somebody actually eat regular sugar. than artificial sweeteners, just because there's a lot of people, a lot of different studies that show it can affect people in many different ways. Their digestion, some people have neurological issues with sweeteners. So I generally tell people to avoid that because it's just not, it's too questionable as long as they've been around. Not getting addicted to like sodas type thing, because those are very addictive soda because there's so much sugar in your average, like I said, average 10 teaspoons of sugar per can of soda. So it's really high. I mentioned avoiding the temptation by not having it close to you where you are out of sight, because that really helps. And then watching our stress, because that's the other thing, right? Especially nowadays, tons of stress going around. Stress causes our blood sugar to fluctuate a lot, and because it's meant to work that way. Because if you're running from a lion, you temporarily need your blood sugar to go up, to go to your brain, to go to your muscles, so you can run, right? Run or fight. But it doesn't matter if you're running from a lion or your boss is mad at you or you're dealing with finances, right? Your stress is still the same, your response. So by moderating your stress through relaxation and all those kind of things to calm that down, that actually makes you crave the sugar less. Because once that craving is there, you want to satisfy it with sugar. I mean, that's just how it is. Unless you learn to retrain, because that's what I did. I used to be a total sugaraholic. I mean, I just ate sugar, sugary cereal in the morning. I'd have cookies with lunch, big bowl of ice cream in the evening with chocolate sauce on it. I mean, I just loved sugar. And but when I did a 180 and stopped doing that, and I would make my own healthy products, I remember I was doing that like 6 months. I wouldn't eat any garbage sugar, anything like that. And we were somewhere and at a party, and I tried a regular cookie, chocolate chip cookie. I took one bite and I could not eat anymore. It was so sweet because I had trained my taste buds to have not very much sugar, that when I first had it, it's like, oh man, that's what I used to eat all the time. So you can actually retrain your taste buds over time, so it's not so, so it actually is not good for you. Your body says, I don't want that anymore, which is what we want it to do. Because we don't want to have all these other side effects, right? The rate of childhood diabetes has gone up quite a bit in the past 20 years, and that is just a really alarming trend. We can't continue that pattern, because caring for that population of people that are diabetic is incredibly costly for the economy and for your own health. I mean, it's just not good. That's how people lose limbs and they can't see, and all these other things that happen, get plaque around your arteries. So getting, and that's one thing for the kids, is that if you can get them tuned in to enjoying fruit and that kind of stuff as their treats, then they won't really get into that thing where they're addicted to a lot of the sugar stuff. Because they'll think the fruit is fine, I mean, if you want to give them a really super treat, and it's still pretty sweet, is the dates. The medjool dates are a very, it's like candy to me. I mean, it's God's candy, I call it, because it's so naturally sweet. But you can make like nut rolls with those, combining nuts and maybe some flax or something with the dates and make little balls. And those things are excellent treats for kids because they got fiber, a little sweet, and some nuts, and that can be a nice alternative for them. So exercise, avoid the temptation, take the nutrients if you have to, because sometimes you will need to supplement with a B vitamin or something to kind of get you over the hump. And sometimes that is a sign that you are missing something when you start craving the sugar, because you might need just some extra minerals and B vitamins to help offset that so you don't crave it so much. I think that covers most of what I wanted to cover. Yes. Does anybody have any questions? Oh, yep.
I have a question on the sugar. What about monk fruit?
Yeah, so monk fruit is the question. So what you'll see with monk fruit is they take a little bit of monk fruit and they mix it with a sugar alcohol like xylitol or mannitol or one of those sugar alcohols. Because monk fruit by itself is like incredibly expensive. Like if you just bought this little thing of monk fruit, it's like, I don't know how many dollars per pound that would be, but it's a good alternative as long as you are okay with the sugar alcohol part. Because some people, if they do too much sugar alcohol, then their digestion gets thrown off. They get their bowels messed up. But I think it's a great alternative. I use that in my coffee in the morning. Just use a little bit of that. And it's just enough to sweeten it a teeny bit and without the sugar rush part. Yeah.
How about all these gummy bears? Are they doing, gummy vitamins?
Yes, yeah, most of those are the base is sugar. And the ones that aren't healthy have dyes and other stuff in them, so I'm not a fan of those. So if you can find them organic, that's going to be better. But they do have sugar in them, so. But if you get the ones that are organic, where they have the organic sugar as a sweetener and not high fructose corn syrup, then that's much better alternative. And you can look at the grams, right? So for every gram, so take that back. For every 4 grams of sugar, that's a teaspoon. So you can look at a product and see the number of grams of sugar. If it's 20 grams per serving and there's 4 grams per teaspoon, that's 5 teaspoons of sugar in that serving. So that's a good way to gauge. Just think of teaspoons because that kind of you can visualize that. And you'll be surprised about how much sugar is in some of these products. I mean, just really get you.
So you're saying the sugar then is actually creating a problem with our vitamins in our system?
Yes, when we do, especially when we do a lot of it, like people drinking several cans of soda a day, having a candy bar, it requires different B vitamins and minerals to process that sugar through your liver. And so the more of it you do, the more you have to supplement with the sugar.
What do you do when you're out with groups of people out for dinner or whatever? How do you
Like
deal
avoid
with
it?
that eating with, no sugar?
Yeah, so like I've trained myself not to be tempted anymore.
Oh.
There's only the one temptation I have is cheesecake. I must admit that. The good thing about cheesecake is per serving, it's not as much sugar as like cake would be, and it's high fat. So when you have high fat combined with the sugar, you absorb it slower, so it doesn't spike your blood sugar as much. So a lot of these low-fat products that came out, this low-fat craze that was back in the 70s and 80s, and that's gone forward, to compensate for the consistency of low fat, right, taking fat out, they had to increase sugar. So that's another reason why this low-fat thing long-term didn't work real great, because it was increasing the sugar content of all these products dramatically, and they were lowering the fat, which also made your blood sugar spike more because there wasn't enough fat to compensate it. So yeah, if you're gonna have your sugar, have some fat with it because it's actually better. So like dark chocolate, it's that's high fat treat, but it helps the blood sugar not spike so much when you eat it. So to answer your question, I typically avoid cakes and all that stuff. If someone's offering me a treat or something, I would go more towards a chocolate something or a piece of cheesecake. And not much of it because I don't need much to satisfy me anymore. But I do make my own stuff that's healthy, that's usually made with maple syrup or honey, that has less sugar in general. Many of the recipes are on our website, actually. If you go to the carewellnessfl.com, on the homepage on the right, there's a holiday recipe guide that has all of our holiday recipes and stuff on it. And we use the natural sweeteners instead of the other stuff.
You mentioned before hypoglycemia. In my case, if I took myself out of sugar years ago, but then I started with Equal because my
Yes.
father was a diabetic, and I said, well, he's drinking that, maybe I can take that too. Then I had to stop in college because I become very, very tired. It's like somebody beat me up. If I put anything that is sugar in my mouth, because sometimes I have that craving and I cannot control it, the next day to wake up,
Oh,
I can't even move.
yeah. And sometimes there's something going on with the immune system that will trigger that too. When your immune system's out of balance and/or your adrenal glands are weak, then the sugar kind of pushes it over the edge. And so you drop into that fatigue state because your body's having a hard time recovering, from it. Like children, for example, teens and all stuff, they can usually handle a fair amount of sugar, even though it's not good for them. and rebound pretty quickly the next day. You know, they really don't feel much stuff because they've got lots of reserve in their body. But the older we get, we have less reserve. And things like our thyroid and adrenal glands don't bounce back quite as fast as they should. Yeah.
So what do the adrenal glands do?
Yeah, they do many things. They regulate blood sugar. They regulate blood pressure. They regulate your fluid balance in your body. And the overall stress response, you know, that's how your body responds to stress with cortisol and adrenaline and all those things. So if you've been stressed out a lot in the past and you have a horrible diet, then they just don't work as good as they should. And that's when you get hypoglycemia or other issues that way, low blood pressure problems, all kinds of things. Most people, it's low blood pressure. Some people get high, but it's usually low.
And is that how you get low on your vitamin D then also?
Vitamin D is a little different. Oh. Yeah, some people, either they're not getting enough sun or their body doesn't convert it very well in their body because they have a liver or kidney problem. Okay. Yep.
How does sugar affect your kidneys?
So it's actually hard on every part of the body. I mean, as long as you're not going into the pre-diabetes or diabetes state, it can handle it for the most part, but when it starts, the sugar levels become elevated, you know, for longer and longer, then it's extremely hard on the kidneys because then they start getting inflamed, they don't filter as good as they used to, and a lot of diabetic patients end up on dialysis because their kidneys just stop working. So that's people that have had it for a long time. You know, they just can't keep up, so to speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should you have any considerations on sugar intake if you only have one kidney? Is it just a matter of the diabetes side of it affecting it?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, ideally, we should have two because they're there to really do a super filtration job, right? So even though you can live with one, it's not ideal. So you want to do everything you can to protect it, you know, and be kind to it, you know? So, yeah, either way, I would just not do a lot of the sugar to preserve it longer, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because...
it's not a question, but it's a lot of the stuff that you are referring. For the last couple of months, I've been craving sugar on and off, and I've been eating a lot of sugar. Well, cookies and sweets.
Yeah.
So my feet swells up out of nowhere. Then after that, I went to a cleanse. I was fasting, like all juice for like 2 weeks, then I had water. Then all of a sudden, my feet got swelled up more, and my stomach was, I feel like my whole body swelled up till like now.
Mm-hmm.
My feet is not bad anymore, but my whole body swells up. So by you explaining this right now, then I'm figuring out maybe that was like probably like the sugar.
It could have threw your body out of balance.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're doing a lot of it for a long time, you get a yeast infection. You'll get, it might be in different parts of your body, but you get fungus overgrowth in your body. It can affect your digestive tract, and you get bloated and feel really lousy, and then you have that snowball effect.
Yeah, because a couple of weeks ago, I went to New York, and then all of a sudden, my stomach swelled up.
Yeah.
And my feet were swelling up. I took pictures and all. I couldn't eat. And I couldn't even sleep.
Yeah,
every time I lay down on my belly, I just couldn't.
Because what can happen with the too much sugar is you feed a lot of the bad bacteria that are in your digestive tract, but not the good guys, and then they grow really fast, and then they can create that bloating and all kinds of snowball effect in the body. Yeah. Anything else?
Do you recommend orange juice and grape juice?
I'm not a fan of fruit juice in general. Because it's so concentrated, it's a natural sugar, but it's very concentrated. I'm just a fan of eating grapes and oranges in general. And if you drink the juice, cut it half and half, 50% water, 50% juice at least. Because it's just, I mean, I think it's about as much sugar per ounce as soda. So it's just natural. It's a little better, but it's still a lot of sugar, you know, so... I'm just a fan of eating the whole fruit with the fiber.
So even if it's natural, let's say it's not from the store, you have an orange, you juice it. So
correct, yeah. I'd just rather eat the whole thing. Because if you think about it, you can Like, I'm not sure how many oranges it takes to make an out of 8 ounce glass of juice, but it's probably several. And you'd never eat that many oranges at one time. You might have one whole orange, but you wouldn't eat four.
That's true.
That might take to make 8 ounces. You know, I'm not sure how many it takes, probably two or three. But yeah, I'm a whole person, whole fruit person.
What do you think about yogurt?
Yogurt? Mm-hmm. So if it's the real deal, you know, that's preferably made from raw milk, it can be very beneficial without added sugar. Because the commercial yogurts are full of sugar. Lots of sugar.
Just the Greek yogurt.
Yeah, Greek yogurt that's unsweetened.
Unsweetened.
Yeah, much better.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, ideally it's made from raw milk, but it's hard to find. You know, it's what it used to be.
So what versus Diet Cola? Or Diet Colas?
Yeah, so the Diet Cola at least doesn't have the high sugar amounts, but I'm just not a fan of the artificial sweetener part. They actually make sodas now that are made from the stevia, and they're fairly good, fairly decent. They're not as sweet as the other ones, but I think they're pretty good.
So you did say you would recommend the stevia, though.
Yeah, the stevia is very good. You just gotta, if you're using it to sweeten stuff, like drinks or coffee or something, it takes so little to sweeten it, or else it gets bitter. It's easy to overdo it. And a lot of the stevias now, they'll do it with the sugar alcohol, like the xylitol or something. They'll mix it, and it's less likely to overdo it, kind of. Like Truvia. You might have seen the one Truvia in the stores, and that's a mix of xylitol and stevia together. Makes it easier to, like, put a packet in or something that doesn't overwhelm you.
And what was your comment again about the alcohol?
Yeah, the sugar alcohols, that they're most of them. So there's one caveat, of course. I'm not a corn fan, because it's what I call an adulterated crop in America. I mean, if you get it organic, it's much better, but it's so processed. A lot of the xylitol is made from corn, so it might not be that great for you, potentially. Birch tree is the ideal source of xylitol. It's healthier for you. But for some people, they don't break it down well, and they get lots of gas, intestinal gas. And they'll know that usually shortly after they try it. Yeah. They're usually within a couple hours, they're not happy. But if you don't overdo it, like a teaspoon of it, it's not going to usually do that. But if you have several products that have it in it, you know, that you're using, then it might overdo it.
And you also related high sugar to ice cream?
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar in ice cream, unfortunately. Yeah. I think a quarter, a half a cup serving usually has around 4 to 5 teaspoons of sugar for a half a cup. How many people eat a half a cup? You usually eat a
gallon?
Yeah, right, half a gallon, right? That's right, yeah. No, I was saying a half a cup usually has, right, about...
You mean 1 teaspoon.
That's 4 or 5 teaspoons. So. Most people eat a cup or more at a time. I know I used to eat probably 2 cups at a time.
Do you have an opinion on Triscuits and Wheat Thins?
So, I would prefer an organic version of those, because all of the grain in the U.S. that's not organic is heavily sprayed with Roundup. And they can measure Roundup in the crackers, in the cereal, in the granola bars. So it's not a good thing. We're like I said, we're slowly poisoning ourselves, basically, is what we're doing. Because several years ago, they used to just spray it when they were growing it. But then they found out that if you spray it a few weeks before you harvest it, you actually get a better yield because of the way it dries out, the grain. And the FDA let them do it. So they started spraying just a lot more than they used to spray in the past. So you can actually measure Roundup in your cereal if you had somebody test it. So if it was an organic Triscuit or Wheat Thin, I'd say yes. And they do make them. They've got alternative, like organic cracker things now. Yeah.
What about alcohol and the sugar content in alcohol?
Yeah, there's a fair amount, because sugar is part of the fermentation process. There's actually ways like to make wine and different things that are what they call low alcohol, so it's lower. But a lot of times when they when they make wine and stuff, they actually add sugar at the end to make the balance the flavor out. So yeah, sugar does turn to alcohol too. So just depends on the wine is probably the worst
Oh.
in terms of the sugar content.
Where do you stand on kombucha?
So kombucha is a, so there's actually sugar in that as well. Some people it's really good. They process it well and it helps their good bacteria. But some people they may be sensitive to it because I've had people where they had it and they didn't feel good afterwards. And there's actually a certain percentage of alcohol in the kombucha that if you're sensitive to alcohol, then you might react to that. Because again, it's fermented, so part of fermentation is alcohol, you know. So, but it can be really good for you. It's just my body doesn't like it. I've tried it before and it just doesn't like it. Is there anything else?
So
One
what
more?
type of B vitamins and minerals we can use?
Yeah, so it's always safe in general to stick with a B complex that has all of them together. And again, they make these mineral complexes that things like selenium are one of the ones that get used a lot, magnesium. So those, again, it's better to have a combination of the minerals together instead of trying to isolate, you know, which one's the best one. Because we need all of them, really.
So as far as wine is concerned, they talk about if you have like a glass of red wine a day or something like that, it helps with your heart. So you know, when you're talking about alcohols and that sort of thing, is it more of a case of overdoing it
Totally.
as opposed to just if you have that one glass, that's okay, you get some benefit from it, but you're not overdoing the sugars and things like that?
Correct. Yes, that's exactly it. Because if you look at the what they call the French paradox, you know, where they do have their 1 to 2 glasses of wine a day, and but they're like they have high fat diets typically, and some of this other stuff. It's like wow, but they got really good other statistics and stuff. Why is that happening? And they attribute part of that to the wine because there is good elements of wine, but it's really the overconsumption because the rest of your body can't handle, you know, large amounts.
As far as fermented foods, and sugars, when I think of fermented foods, I think of things like kimchi and pickles and sauerkraut and things of that
Yes.
nature. Should you be at all concerned about sugar content in those types of
No.
veggie
No,
fermented
no, nope, those are
foods?
fine. Yep, those are
Okay.
fine because they have all the good bacteria. And that type of fermentation process doesn't create a whole lot of sugar. Yeah, that's a really good one. Matter of fact, a lot of the original ones were not, when they did the fermented vegetables, it was a salt brine that they used to make the fermentation. So there was no sugar involved at all. And that's how they made the sauerkraut and that kind of stuff. Anything else? Oh, I'm back.
Penn and Teller says if everything was grown organically, 30% of the world population would starve to death. It's inefficient. Is that right or wrong?
I've not heard that statistic, but
He says the big companies are the organic food comes from big companies, not little farms. That's a misnomer.
well, you're correct. It used to be a lot of, there's still small farms that do the organic farming. A lot of them have been bought out. But they can still do this stuff without spraying mass quantities of pesticides and herbicides on this stuff. I mean, the reason they do that is for profitability, right? Because they get higher yields when they use all these chemicals on the grains and all that stuff. So it can be done without it. It's just they don't make as much money. That's the bottom line. Food production is all about money. It's not about health anymore. In general, especially commercial food production is about money. It's not
Is
about nutrition.
doctoring about money?
Huh?
Is doctors about money or are they about good health?
It depends on the doctor. Right? It's like any profession, you know. Some people do it
Guy
because
who's
they like to
treating
do
me for cancer, what does he care about?
It. might be wanting to help people, but unfortunately he's stuck in a system that really doesn't care about the people so much as they do about the money, right? Why else would we have started the war against cancer in the 70s and we haven't made very much progress in 50 years? It's pretty sad, right? But that's politics, so any other health questions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a natural sugar, but, you know, a lot of people have problems with lactose. You know, kids can handle it better than adults, but as we get older, the lactase enzyme decreases in our digestive tract, and if you don't break it down, boy, is that a problem. Yeah.
And you also mentioned about atherosclerotic plaque.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a combination of both of those things. Yeah, the inflammatory process that gets set up, and it's just it's a vicious cycle, you know, because the sugar does raise the whole inflammatory thing in your body, and then that makes you more likely for the arteries to have issues, and then the plaquing comes after the inflammation.
So what is the first steps that we have to do in order to start cleaning our system from sugar?
The first step is to stop eating it, right? That's the first step. And then you replace it with the good stuff, which is, you know, if you want to start with honey and maple syrup and those kind of things, they're better, but they're still sugar. And then you do alternatives, you know, like having fruits and let the fruits satisfy you for your sweet craving. And then using less of it in your recipes. You know, a lot of these commercial candies and sugar and cookies you buy are just totally way too much sugar. You don't need that much to make it a sweet treat, you know? But yeah, you have to get it out of your house and not use it in recipes anymore. And I mean, the way I started in the beginning was I just swapped out regular white sugar for organic raw sugar. At least it's a little more nutritious and not quite as sweet. And then I still learned how to reduce it in the recipes and use honey instead, those type of things. But it really does come down to eating less. That really is. And once you've done that long enough, you won't want it as much. I mean, that's what happens. And the better your nutrition is, that balances the craving, so you won't crave it. Many times a craving for sugar is something is out of balance in an organ or a gland of your body, or you're missing the B vitamins or minerals. You make that good again and you don't crave it as much. Yeah. Yep. Is that good? Alrighty. Those are lots of good questions. So go home and have a piece of fruit.
You know, are you for all fruit? I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of fruit you eat. Eat a half a pie.